In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is in our midst. Father Anthony Conieris ponders on this word, if, in his book, Message of the Sunday Gospels, Volume 2, and he offers sermonettes about various things related to the gospel passages. And so he ponders on this word, if. If you can do anything is the name of this sermonette. If, he says, is a small word with tremendous implications. It can cause people more trouble than perhaps any other word. It can be one of the most sorrowful words in the English language. Indeed, how often do we hear people say, or you know, ourselves say, if I only could have another chance, if I only had made a different choice, if I only had more ambition, if only we had called the doctor sooner, if only I had been more patient, if only I had taken the opportunity when I had the chance, if only I had listened to my parents, if only I had spent more time with my children when they were young, if only I had not made this mistake, if only I had acted differently. If, we can go on and we can go on and we can go on. Mary and Martha said to Jesus after their brother Lazarus died, if only you had been here, our brother would not have died. If is also one of Satan's favorite words in tempting us. Look at what he tried to do with Jesus. After Jesus was baptized by John in the River Jordan, Jesus went into the wilderness and he fasted and he prayed for 40 days. Satan came to Jesus and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. The next thing he did was he took Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple and he said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. And finally, showing Jesus all the kingdoms of the world, he said, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. How many times has someone said to us something like, if you're so strong, why don't you do this? If you're so smart, why don't you do that? If you're so rich, why don't you do this? Or if you're such a faithful Christian, why don't you? If. As Satan did with Jesus, he does with us. He often uses the word if to play on our emotions and to get us to do things that we really don't want to do or that we really shouldn't do. And maybe we can do something. Jesus certainly could have turned the stones into bread. He could have jumped from the temple and landed safely, and he could easily be the king of the world. But as soon as pride and ego enter into the equation, into the thought, we give ourselves over to the evil one. It's his will that we are doing and not God's will. If. During Great Lent, the weekday readings are selected from Genesis, Proverbs, and Isaiah. And we hear this every time that we attend a Lenten service, especially during the week, or during the week, I should say. And there is a reason for that. It is so that we can retrace the works and the words of God among the Israelites to learn their story, because their story really is our story. And that story often contains the word if. In fact, there are approximately 1,600 verses in Scripture that contain the word if. 1,600 verses early in the book of Genesis. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. If only Cain had repented. In other words, these if statements also outline consequences for certain behaviors and attitudes. Now notice the possibility and reward for repentance. How many times did Moses say to Pharaoh, if you let my people go? And if Pharaoh had obeyed or repented, then all the plagues and the suffering in Egypt could have been avoided. The law, or the Torah as we know it, the first five books of the Old Testament given to Moses, is full of conditional statements beginning with the word if. These provide directions and remedies based upon the numerously varied circumstances of life. For instance, in Exodus, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine." Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent." And then in Isaiah chapter 1, 19 through 20, "If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the goods of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Now, instead of using the words "if" only as an expression of regret or sadness, try replacing them with the creative and hopeful words "next time." For example, "Next time, with the help of the Lord, it will be different." Next time. Not if, next time. We can also use the word "if" in a positive manner. Again, looking at the scriptures, we find several hopeful phrases. Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 7. "If God is for us, who is against us?" I'm sorry, that's from Romans, chapter 8, 30. From John 15, 7. "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it will be done for you." So we see this in a positive way. "If" can be life's saddest word if it concentrates on regret for what happened in the past, but it can also be life's joyous word if it seeks God for power, for life, for forgiveness. Jesus said, "If a man loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home in him," in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. If. In today's gospel passage, we just heard from Mark chapter 9, which is always read on the fourth Sunday of Lent, a man brings his son to Jesus because this poor young man, this boy, is possessed by a spirit that often makes him harm himself. The father tells Jesus, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus replies, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." This is a very important exchange because we often look to God to do things for us without really believing and trusting in the Lord. What do I mean? It's not about if God can do this or that for us. Rather, it's about if we are willing, if we are able, if we are ready to believe and trust in his will, that he will do or not whatever is best for us. So then, what we need to do is to be obedient. If we really and truly believed and trusted in God, then we would, as we say numerous times in the Orthros and liturgy, commit ourselves and each other and our whole life to Christ our God. So then let our ifs be, "Next time, I will. O Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." Amen.